Welcome back, everyone, to Box Box Podcast. We have returned as the two of us. I was on holiday last week, but Matt did kindly do a solo episode, so I hope you all enjoyed that. I know I did.
Did you listen? Why are you to laughing? It? Did you listen?
That's not the point.
No. I'm curious. Did you listen to it? Obviously, you know, it was a big race last week in Baku. Obviously, being the other part of Box Box, I'm assuming you listened to it when you were away on holiday.
Yeah, well, no, yeah, I saw some clips on, so I thought I like pieced the middle bits myself. So yeah, like, okay. I saw the clips and I was like, you know what, I can guess what he said in the other parts. So you did, yeah.
Good. Glad we got that one covered.
Well, I did. I did and I didn't. Anyway, enough of that. That's irrelevant. Welcome back. It's good to be back. And we are officially heading to Singapore. And I've got to say, I am excited. But before we get into all of that, I am going to bore you with the usual rigmarole, because I really want you to make sure you check out Box Box Club, right? We are Box Box Podcast, powered by Box Box Club. And they are home of the best F1 widgets app. It is unbelievable when you install it on your phone. It is available on Apple and Android. So make sure you head to your local app store to download. It's absolutely free to download. There is an ultra version if you do want to go paid and increase your features. And we're offering you 30% off that by using code BOXBOXPOD. So download it for free. Try it out. Then if you want to upgrade, make sure you use our code. And yeah, that is us. If you want to stay more up to date with F1 and everything we have to say on it, then follow us on social media. You can just search Box Box Clips on TikTok and Box Box Pod on Instagram. You see, I knew it. I've had a week off. But yeah, that is enough. Let's get straight into it.
All right, guys, welcome along to a brand new podcast. Right, so I just want to start off by last week, and I did do a podcast on my own, and I did a clip where I said that Lando Norris fumbled last week, okay? And this triggered a few people, and I thought it would trigger a few Lando fans. And I just want to touch on this comment, because it goes, yikes, sorry, but the Lando hate is so forced. Imagine your teammate being slower than you the whole weekend. They're talking about Oscar Piastri here. Crashing out in qualifying, jump the start, then stall to get away last on the grid, to half a lap later crashing in the wall, and still be the one who everyone is saying Lando Norris has bottled it. Let me just clarify something here, okay? So Oscar Piastri coming into this year, no one expected to be a championship contender, okay? Let alone be leading the championship for the majority of the season. Oscar Piastri had a very bad weekend in Baku. Granted, don't deny that at all. However,
a shocker. Can I just add, I haven't been able to have my say on that. Shocker from Piastri.
A shocker. However, Lando Norris coming into this weekend was 31 points behind, okay? He had the opportunity that his title contender was out in qualifying. Perfect. Perfect opportunity to go and get on pole position, second or whatever. He made a mistake in qualifying. He started P7, okay? He made a mistake. He fumbled that. He had a perfect opportunity there. Heading into the race, granted, Oscar Piastri had a very, very poor start. He crashed. It was another, you know, we'll say it again, a shocker. But Lando Norris needed to capitalise this weekend. And he didn't. And when I say about Oscar Piastri, take nothing away. Oscar Piastri, it was awful. But Lando Norris, once again, when it matters the most to go on and capitalise on these people's, you know, his contenders' mistakes, he doesn't deliver. In the past, you see the likes of Schumacher, Max Verstappen, Lewis Hamilton. They would capitalise on any of their title contenders' mistakes, and they would go on and maximise the most out of it. That weekend in Baku, Lando Norris didn't. So yeah, I stand by what I said. It was a fumbled weekend for Lando Norris. But Luke, you weren't here last week. I'm interested to hear what your point is.
Yeah, look, guys, it's kind of irrelevant. If you're having a conversation about Lando Norris, you don't need to mention Oscar Piastri. In the same way that you don't need to mention Liam Lawson or Alex Albon. They're irrelevant to the conversation. We were talking, or Matt was talking specifically about Lando Norris. And this was Lando Norris's opportunity to capitalise. It's not hate. It's not forced hate. It's an observation that McLaren have the quickest car, right? They are out and out the best team. If you don't believe me, go and look at the constructor standings and then we'll have a conversation about that. Oscar Piastri had the weekend from hell. And granted, the McLaren didn't necessarily look like it was head and shoulders above everyone this weekend. But I guarantee if you put Max Verstappen in that car, he would have taken it to pole even more comfortably than he did in his Red Bull. And I think that's kind of where the point goes. Of you look at these drivers that are very, very good. And then you compare them to the greats. And this is what happens. And, you know, Lando Norris was given this opportunity. He was given the opportunity firstly in qualifying and he couldn't pull it out of the bag. And this is, you know, synonymous with Lando's behaviours where we do see him struggle under pressure. And that's not a nice thing, as anyone watching, right? There's nothing more frustrating than watching someone really struggle with the pressure. And I often sit there and place myself in Lando's shoes and think, oh my God, like what he must be going through sometimes must be awful. But he was then given a second chance in the race to, you know, really be aggressive and come through the pack. And it didn't happen. So, yeah, look,
I want to add to that last week, just also win the race, because a lot of people were then going on saying, oh yeah, but Lando Norris lost those positions because of the pit stop. Granted, the pit stop was a shocker. Another shocking pit stop for Lando Norris. However, let's rewind it back. Does anyone remember the actual, you know, the start after the safety car? How bad Lando Norris got off the line? He got overtaken by Charles Leclerc. Lost a lot of time there. Right, we all.
He was napping.
It was, yeah.
He got caught napping.
You know, last weekend was an awful weekend for Oscar, but another awful weekend for Lando Norris, where he didn't capitalise. He got given this opportunity, and he didn't take it. If you're a true title contender, you maximise every point you can. Lando doesn't do that. This goes back to last year, making the same mistakes, okay? Qualifying, gets an opportunity, makes a mistake. How many times have we said that in qualifying? He makes a mistake, all right? When the time counts, he makes a mistake. In the race, yeah, like Luke said, he was caught napping. That cost him there, those places. Not just the pit stop. Granted, the pit stop was crap, but also the fact that he lost time to Charles Leclerc because he lost it on the restart of a safety car. Let's not forget that, okay?
I'm not being funny, right? Let's look at how that race ended, right? Max Verstappen won it by almost 15 seconds, okay? Lando Norris finishing P7 was 34 seconds off the pace, right? He had Yuki Tsunoda in front of him, who's had a horrid, horrid time at Red Bull. He had Liam Lawson in front of him in an RB. And not only that, you had Carlos Sainz in a Williams on a podium about 15 seconds down the road. And that's where I'm saying the McLaren, albeit may not have been the strongest car here, but that's still up for debate in my opinion, because I think if you put Max Verstappen in it then he would have probably won the race by like 30 seconds. But you can't be finishing behind Yuki in the Red Bull, Liam Lawson in the RB, and Carlos Sainz in the Williams, and say that that's not down to the driver, because that McLaren is absolutely clear. And I go back to my previous point, go and check the constructors if you're trying to fight back here. You know, this is not just an outlier for McLaren. This was a poor weekend for both drivers. And undoubtedly, Oscar had the worst weekend, way worse. But I can tell you, I bet Oscar slept a lot better on Sunday night than Lando Norris. And that's because Lando knows that he didn't capitalise like he could have and should have.
I said last week on the podcast, you know, Oscar Piastri would be leaving Baku going, look, I've had an awful weekend and I've come away just losing 6 points in the championship. I would 100% take that because, you know, it's 25 points. He's still, a race ahead. Like, he will be very happy with that. And I have no doubt Oscar Piastri will come back again in Singapore. That's just one of those weekends. You see all the drivers have him every now and then. But, yeah, I mean, Lando's, it was his perfect opportunity to capitalise. He just didn't do it. But, yeah, I don't know. It's difficult. Luke, obviously, last week we were discussing about, obviously, Max Verstappen, another back-to-back win in Baku. He's now on 255 points. Ahead of him is Lando Norris on 299, okay? I said last week, Lando Norris and McLaren need to be worried about Max Verstappen because there is a real chance this year that if Max Verstappen, this Red Bull, are getting stronger and stronger again, they could lose even P2 in the driver standings, which would be, I would say, would be a massive disappointment.
I wouldn't even put it past Max winning. That is a bold statement, but that's how much belief Max Verstappen gives you. You think, wow, this looks pretty impossible. What is he, 70 points back, like 69 points away from Oscar Piastri? If anyone can do it, it's Max Verstappen. So, and I mean, yeah, you know, Lando's position is in even more peril than Oscar's. And look, if I look at it realistically, yeah, I think the McLarens will be comfortable because if you go back and see all the race results and how McLaren have performed at all these different tracks and how the two drivers have, you know, done really well. Let's not forget Oscar's got 14 podiums, Lando's got 13 podiums. That is obviously more than anyone. So they are extracting the performance from the car. And this was, you know, a rare bad weekend for McLaren in recent times. So I wouldn't go putting money on Max Verstappen winning it right now, but I would definitely be looking over my shoulder if I was those two boys because people crumble under pressure. You know, they're in a title battle, and I tell you what, there would be nothing worse for McLaren than both of them missing out on the Drivers' Championship to Max Verstappen because that would be, I'm going to go out and say it, one of the biggest humiliations in Formula One history.
Yeah, no, I would probably...
If Max Verstappen wins the title this year, not only would that be one of the greatest title wins ever, it would be one of the most embarrassing moments in F1 history. Because, this title has got McLaren wrapped up. Got McLaren written all over it, right? They've got the constructors wrapped up. Easy. And I don't think it will happen, just for the record. Like, I do firmly believe one of the McLaren boys will win it, but never write off Max Verstappen.
Okay, is it still embarrassing then? Say Oscar wins the championship, okay? Max Verstappen gets P2 and Lando Norris P3. Is that still classed as an embarrassment for McLaren in a season where they have been so dominant and at one point Max Verstappen was pretty much nowhere to actually get a P2 in the driver's standards? And I know some people go, well, actually, you won the driver's championship, so who cares where the other driver finishes? But if you are Lando Norris, getting P3, losing out to Max Verstappen again, it's a bit embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. You know, if either one of them don't finish in that one or two position, that will be, in my eyes, a really poor effort. And this is, look, this is, I do believe McLaren will finish 1-2, and I do believe both drivers are very, very, very good drivers. But it does, you know, these weekends do just make you think. It's not even necessarily that I think from the perspective of, oh, well, McLaren had a bad weekend. I actually think more from the perspective of Max Verstappen has had another unbelievable weekend. I think when he's in that form, mate, you could stick him in a Vauxhall Corsa and I'm pretty sure he'd stick it on pole position. It is just unbelievable. So that's where my thoughts lie. It's not so much on like, oh, McLaren are flops and they do this. It's more like, yeah, hang on. Watch out for Max Verstappen because he is not down and out here.
No, I agree. Let's touch quickly on Yuki Tsunoda. Obviously, last week, it was actually a very good race for him. Finishing P6, picking up 8 points for Red Bull. Something which we haven't said many times on the podcast. But there's still talks, and I think this is why Red Bull are holding off on their decision on the second driver for next year. What's your thoughts? Is this something that actually they need to give Yuki Tsunoda a bit more time to try and prove himself? Because he does start to... He seems to be becoming a bit more confident with this car, and whether that's since Laura Mekis has come in and they've changed something, but Yuki Tsunoda did look good last week.
Is it good that he was unable to overtake Liam Lawson in an RB?
No.
So how good was his weekend?
If you put it like that, not a very good weekend. But I'm talking just
That's the way I looked at it, right? Yeah. And I don't want to be, you know, I'm not having anyone call me a Yuki hater because I love Yuki Tsunoda and I advocated so hard for him to, like Red Bull were going to listen, for him to get this Red Bull seat, right? Prior to Liam Lawson getting it, I thought Lawson getting it over Tsunoda was a joke. But let's not celebrate mediocrity. You know, his teammate won the race by nearly 15 seconds very comfortably, and look, it's great to see Yuki have a more comfortable and just a stronger weekend, but he finished behind Liam Lawson in the RB, and not just through chance. You know, they raced on track and he couldn't get past him. If Max Verstappen, And it's always an unfair comparison because I hate saying this. Well, could Max Verstappen get past Liam Lawson? But answer me that.
Yeah, he would have.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just where I think Red Bull need to look at. I hate the fact that Red Bull churn through drivers like, I don't know, they're fucking pints in a pub, right? One. That... they need to find stability and consistency within that team. And I agree with you, Yuki Tsunoda is looking stronger. But it goes back to that argument of, well, if you're a team at the top, can you afford to do that? You know, Ferrari have Lewis Hamilton and Charles Leclerc. McLaren have Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris. If Red Bull have a car that is capable of winning a title next season... But so do Ferrari and so do McLaren. They're going to need both drivers. And I really, really hope Yuki is the man to sit in that number two seat, which is fine, being number two to Max Verstappen. I don't think many people cry about that. But you need to be a good number two.
Yeah, no, I agree. Last week, I briefly spoke about, obviously, Ferrari need to look over their shoulders in the constructors, because obviously last week they dropped down from P2 to P3. Red Bull aren't too far behind either, and realistically there's a very high chance, if Max Verstappen keeps on the consistency that he's going and Yuki Tsunoda starts picking up those, you know, points as well, there's a real chance Ferrari could finish P4 in the constructors. But the question is, and obviously we saw Carlos Sainz get a P3 last week, the first podium for Williams since, I think, what, Lance Stroll in 2018 or something. But there's been a lot of questions out this week. Do Ferrari miss Carlos Sainz?
I mean, look, I think that's... personally, I think that's a terrible argument, and that's not because I'm wearing a Lewis Hamilton T-shirt. The reason I think that's a poor argument is because Carlos Sainz has been, you know, what's the opposite to superior? The less superior driver.
Inferior.
At Williams. Yeah, he's been the inferior driver at Williams this season. Granted, he got the podium, great. And I was genuinely delighted that Sainz got that. I really didn't want him to end up in P4. I was really hoping he'd get the P2. But he's been the inferior driver. The Ferrari is incomparable to the Ferrari that they had last year. It's, you know, whatever Ferrari have done, it's shocking. And it's not just Lewis that is struggling with this car. It's Charles as well. You know, Charles is only 40-something points ahead of Lewis in the championship, which, granted, is like a fair amount of points, but only when you're finishing in those sort of like P7s, P8s. You know, if they were going for P1, P2, all of a sudden 40 points is not that big. You don't feel that safe. So I don't really see that argument having any sort of foundation, because I just don't understand it. What are they missing from Carlos Sainz?
No, I agree. I think Ferrari are they're a much different team from last year. They changed a lot over the winter break, heading into a new season, and they haven't recovered from that. And I think, yes, okay, they've had some poor races. Obviously, they got disqualified from China. Obviously, they had a double DNF in Zandvoort, so they lost a good amount of points there. But I don't think so. I think when you have a 7-time world champion and Charles Leclerc in your car, you're not an inferior team. You're just lacking a lot of pace, and the quality of the car just hasn't been good enough this year.
And that's not to say that I don't think you can go back and listen to episodes where I've said Carlos Sainz losing his seat is one of the most unfair things that, you know, in recent Formula One times. But you don't say no to Lewis Hamilton, 7-time world champion. And I think if you genuinely look at this Ferrari, it looks truly horrendous to drive.
Yeah, looks horrible.
And I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that I think Lewis has looked stronger than Charles this season. He's just been unlucky. That's not true. Charles has looked stronger this season, and that's fine. But like, both of them have really struggled in the car, and it's not looked good. You know, the only difference is Charles has managed to extract some podiums from it, and Lewis still needs to sort out his qualifying, because that is affecting him massively. But the rear end stability on that car is a piece of shit, and I pray for better times next season. And if I'm team boss, or if you're team boss, answer this for yourself at home. If you're going into next season and you're in charge at Ferrari, you're high up, and you know you've got a good car, I don't know how you know, but you just know, it's somewhere deep within, are you telling me you would genuinely rather Carlos Sainz and Charles Leclerc as opposed to Lewis Hamilton and Charles Leclerc? If you do, fair enough, but I would disagree with you.
There you go. Do comment on that. Got a little bit of a quiz with you, Luke. Nice. And so it's a team's time since their last podium. So I'm not expecting you to get the correct days or whatever, but I kind of want you to either say less than a month or 2 months ago or 4 months ago or 10 months ago. So we're going to go for each team, and I want you to guess when were their last podium. Yep, makes sense?
Yep, yeah, I get you.
Yeah, so Red Bull.
Last week.
Yeah. Mercedes.
Last week.
Williams.
Last week.
McLaren.
The race before.
Yep. RBs.
Where did Isaac get the... Was it Monza? God, I'm trying to look at my calendar now. Just so I can get... Where did he get... Yeah, it must have been like a month ago.
So you're saying less than a month or a month?
Just less than a month.
Okay, yep, good. Ferrari.
Oh. God, I actually can't even... I cannot remember where they last got a podium. Maybe it was Belgium, like 2 months ago.
Yeah, just over 2 months since Ferrari last had a podium. Kick Sauber.
Oh, well, that was Silverstone. So, where was Silverstone? That was just before Belgium. So maybe like 2.5 months ago.
Yeah, about 2.5 months. Alpine.
Good God. Alpine. That would have been Brazil last year. So I'm going to say like 10 months ago.
Yeah, just literally under 11 months ago since their last one.
Oh, wow.
Aston Martin.
Ah, the infamous quote. That was probably 15, 16 months ago.
1 year, 10 months, and 25 days ago.
Oh, wow.
Since last time Aston Martin got a podium.
It wasn't even last season.
No.
That quote came from, was it?
2023, that season, that quote came from.
Wow. Incredible. Yeah, I mean, Aston Martin still confused me every time I watch them, but anyway, carry on.
And finally, Haas.
I'm trying to think if Haas have ever stepped on the podium here. I don't recall Haas ever stepping on the podium.
Nope, you're correct. They're still waiting for their first ever podium. But the ones that shocked me...
Huh? No, sorry, carry on, and then I want to come back to something on Haas.
The one thing that shocked me there was the Aston Martin one. That's mad how good they were in 2023 to then, since then, have no podiums. It's pretty mad. And even Ferrari, 2 months. That's a long time for a team like Ferrari.
Yeah, that really is. I mean, look, Ferrari have had 5 podiums this season. They've all gone to Charles Leclerc. And unless, obviously, sprint race, Lewis won in China. But this is what I say. It's been a rough season for Ferrari. So to say, oh, they're missing Carlos Sainz, I think... Carlos Sainz might perform better than Lewis Hamilton this season, but on the basis that this season is a write-off, who would you rather next season? Sure. I'm going to say Lewis Hamilton. But we obviously saw, it was earlier this week, Christian Horner has officially been relieved of his, you know, duties at Red Bull. And he's rumoured to have received an £80 million payout, which, that sounds all right, you know. I know loads of people who get sacked and have to end up fucking working for Deliveroo because they don't get big payouts like that. And wouldn't it be nice if we all got paid £80 million to actually not work? That would be he must feel like he's won the lottery. That is an unbelievable sum of cash to simply not have to turn up to work. If I had that money, I would probably pay that money to never have to turn up to work. So he's, you know, living his best life now, I imagine. But I saw rumours suggesting that he was going to come in and take over at Haas. Now, I do believe these rumours have been rubbished. So I'm not here spreading fake news, so anyone commenting down below. What would be your thoughts on that if that happened?
Look, we've said on this podcast when Red Bull got rid of Horner, him coming back into the sport, he goes to any team on that grid. I don't care what you say, maybe not Mercedes, okay, but any other team on that grid, he goes to. You don't turn down someone like Christian Horner. So... IO has done a great job since he's taken over from Günther Steiner. But if Christian Horner comes in and you have the opportunity to have that sort of caliber team principal, CEO, or whatever, running your team, you don't say no to that. And apart from Mercedes, there's no other team on that grid who says no to Christian Horner.
I think that's kind of my stance. And look, it's very likened to the Carlos Sainz Ferrari situation. You know, Carlos Sainz losing his seat at Ferrari was, you know, one of the most undeserved droppings I think we've seen. It would be the same for Ayu Komatsu, but at the end of the day, when Lewis Hamilton comes knocking, when Christian Horner comes knocking, how do you say no? You know, if you're Gene Haas and you've got Christian Horner turning up saying, I've got the blueprint. Did you see what I did with Red Bull? Haas, yeah, give me money, give me time. Look where I can take you. Yeah, that's an attractive offer. It doesn't matter who you've got in charge at the moment. You know, Christian Horner's got the credentials to pretty much topple anyone other than, like you say, Toto Wolff. A big part of that is because he owns the team, which does help. But, you know, Toto also has very good credentials. But I would still say no one's credentials match that of Christian Horner's.
No, and I know some people will go, oh, yeah, well, Christian Horner only had success also because of, you know, the likes of Jonathan Wheatley and that lot. And, yeah, granted, but he had a lot of success and he ran that team very well. And you've seen...
Who builds the team?
Him.
You know, he didn't hire Jonathan Wheatley because he was crap and he hated him. Like, he hired him because he obviously saw that he fit in with the vision.
Yeah. No, I think there's not many teams who would say no to Christian Horner. Do let us know because, yeah, I saw that report and I was a bit like, if that was the case, that is a team who will eventually have a lot of success. All right, actually, quick question here. A bit of a random topic and a bit of a random question. But say Christian Horner, well, he is available, and he said to Williams, look, I want to come and be your team principal. You've got James Vowles there, who's building a team after the success last week in Baku. It's going along nicely. You've got good driver pairing. Would you keep James Vowles or would you take Christian Horner?
And I guess this is always the tricky question. I mean, do I think James Vowles is doing a better job than Ayu Komatsu? And, you know, yes would be the clear answer. But I think Komatsu's doing a good job given, you know, everyone had kind of written Haas off. But let's not forget they are still ninth in the constructors. That is a trickier one, but it's new blood versus old blood, you know.
James Vowles is the only one other than Toto Wolff who I'd go, ooh, that would be a bit harsh, but I'd still think Christian Horner would be the right choice because he's proved it. He's a proven winner. And I know he's done that. I know you can say James Vowles has been part of the Mercedes team and all of that stuff, and granted. But Horner has done it. He's lived it. He's won championships by being a team principal.
I do agree. I do think Christian Horner would be the choice, naturally, right? Would I get rid of James Vowles? If I'm top dog at Williams, right? I own the team. I make the calls. I think at this point in time, it would be reckless to get rid of James Vowles. And that's not because I don't think that Christian Horner is necessarily, you know, more experienced or more qualified for the job, because he is. But Williams are on a roll, right? And they are showing that upwards trajectory. So I think to go and disturb that right now could be fatal. And I think that's the only reason you don't get rid of James Vowles.
Yeah, true. Yeah, do let us know.
For Christian Horner.
A bit of a random question. It's not likely to happen, but I thought he's probably the only other one who I think would be a difficult choice. Shall we look ahead to Singapore? So FP1 on Friday is 10:30 to 11:30. FP2 is 2 till 3 On Saturday, FP3 is 10:30 to 11:30. Qualifying is 2 till 3. And the race on Sunday is 1 till 3. So the main question is, Luke, who's your top three for this weekend's Singapore Grand Prix?
Will we finally see Lewis Hamilton on the podium?
If there's
ever a race where you just need to qualify well, my God, it's Singapore. We saw that from Carlos Sainz, you know, who won the race by carrying, was it Lando Norris along in his DRS?
Yeah. George Russell being in it in the wall.
Yeah, that helped. That did help massively. Look, I think the McLarens will be on fine form here. I'm not going to lie. We have seen Red Bull struggle a little bit around this track in this era, weirdly. Mm. So I am going to go Lando Norris. I hope there's some fuckery. Do you know what? I'm going to go something rogue. I'm going to go Lando, Lewis, George Russell.
Jeez, that is rogue. That is rogue.
Let's not forget Lewis Hamilton set one of the best ever qualifying laps in Formula One history around Singapore. If he could just embody that for just
62 laps.
He only needs it for one lap in quali.
Yeah, true.
And then, doesn't matter how fast you drive, you know, you can hold people up here. So, yeah, that is a prediction jam-packed with fucking hopium. But well, it'd be boring if I just said Oscar, Lando, Max.
Yeah, no, so true. Well, I'm going to go Oscar Piastri. I think, you know, last week was just a minor hiccup in the road towards his championship. So Oscar Piastri P1. I'm going to go... I'm going to go even roguer here, right? Oscar Piastri P1, Charles Leclerc P2, Lewis Hamilton P3.
Oh my God. You're going to think we're crackers. Turn off now and don't come back, honestly.
Right, one day we will get this spot on and then we'll clip this and we'll go, look, said it.
Yeah, be like, look, we fucking called it. You listen to us next time. Even though, like, the other 100 times we've done it, wrong, every time.
We're completely wrong. Finally, do you know who set the fastest lap at Singapore?
The fastest lap ever?
Yeah. It's a 134.486, yes.
Lewis Hamilton?
No. Daniel Ricciardo in 2024. Wow. And if anyone remembers, he set the fastest lap. He obviously finished outside the points last week, and this was last year.
Oh,
and this was
his
last race for the RB before he got dropped.
Yep. I do remember now.
Yeah.
I do. I still find that weird that they got rid of him then. It didn't make any sense to me.
No, but we are where we are. And actually, I think the RB team look in a much better place without him in the nicest possible way.
Yeah. I mean, he looks happy as well, to be honest. He's probably finally free from this expectation of, you're Daniel Ricciardo, you should be this. And
100%.
Now he just looks like he's living a good life.
He's looking like him and Christian Horner are now living a good life.
It's true, a very wealthy life for especially Christian Horner.
Exactly, exactly. But guys, that is the end of the podcast. A bit of a short one this week, but we'll be back next week reviewing the Singapore Grand Prix. Hopefully you've enjoyed this. Check us out on all social media, TikTok, Instagram. And yeah, Luke, have a good week. Enjoy your swimming. Tomorrow?
It depends on schedule.
Depends on schedule. And yeah, get one of your standing desks and one of those walk-in treadmills. You really enjoy that. You could really go a long way with that.
I'm not getting... I want a standing desk, right? Because when you're working from your desk, you're forced to sit. And I don't like that. I get restless. But I'm not getting a treadmill underneath.
I suggested that he goes on the TikTok shop and gets one of those treadmills. And he was like, I ain't doing that. I'll just go for a walk instead. Fair enough. But yeah,
outside.
Hopefully you've enjoyed the podcast. We'll be back next week. Take care, and we shall see you later. Bye bye.